You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Radio.com Sports presents Big Time Baseball with MLB insider John Heyman and former major leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr.
Welcome to another episode of Big Time Baseball. I'm Tony Gwynn Jr. alongside John Heyman. We have finally starting to come to the end of this offseason that seemed like it was at a snail's pace, and then it kind of picked up heavily here in the last month or so. And John and I will get into our winners, our honorable mentions, and a few of our losers. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Tony Gwynn Jr. He's at John Heyman. And now this show is also on Twitter. You can follow us at RDC_BigTimeBaseball. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review Big Time Baseball on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcast. John, it's been a long time, man. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm doing well. I mean, it hasn't been that long. It's been a couple weeks. It feels like it's been quite a bit of time.
Too long.
Let's get into some of our winners for the offseason. It seems like it's kind of come into focus here over the last, I'd say, month in terms of maybe the bottom five, but I think the top three were pretty well known early on at the beginning of this year, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Some teams just killed it this winter. Did a fantastic job. Your team, I know they'll be mentioned, but I've got five winners here, and I think all of them did a great job.
All right, well, let's start at number five. I'll go first. I put the White Sox here. They made some. I think they didn't make a boatload of moves, but the moves they made were impact moves. I think acquiring Lance Lynn from the Rangers, signing Adam Eaton, who was already a White Sox before, and then kind of shoring up the back end of that bullpen with Liam Hendricks, I think puts them right there fighting with the Twins at the top of this AL Central. This team, I thought, made the right moves. Not necessarily the biggest splashes, but they made the right moves for this team. I think this one will move them up top that American League Central once again.
Yeah, you know, I'm with you. In fact, I had the White Sox even a little bit higher than you. So my number five team is the Mets. Just getting Lindor, that was huge. I mean, to get a superstar shortstop, I know Mets fans are thinking about the fact they didn't get Springer, they didn't get Bauer, and Realmuto. They actually tried pretty hard for Realmuto. We forget that they didn't get those three players. So I guess they might think of what might have been, but you got Lindor, you got McCann as your catcher, major upgrade there. You got Trevor May into the bullpen. Carrasco, that's a big plus. People forget Carrasco, really good starting pitcher. They're going to add Pilar here, VR, versatile utility guy. And, of course, they brought Stroman back. So, I mean, I think, you know, once you have Lindor, you got to be in the top five somewhere. And they made a lot of moves, and I think they're still working. So the Mets do make my top five, even if some of their fans might think about how great they might have been if they'd gotten Springer and Bauer, but still pretty darn good.
Yeah, no, I think because of that reason, I had them just a little bit higher. I think we had ours flip-flop. You had the White Sox at five, or excuse me, at four, and the Mets at five. For me, I put the Mets at four because when you go back to the beginning of this off season, there was a lot of unanswered questions, but I think what really got their offseason rolling, I don't know if it really did, but it got their offseason rolling in the right direction. Marcus Stroman accepts his qualifying offer. that's a good starting pitcher you get to add to your rotation. And then Trevor May. I think that's kind of the under the radar signing. Mm-hmm. I mean, next to Liam Hendricks, you could argue that he was the second best bullpen arm available during this time. And the Mets are able to bring him. They're not able to get JT Realmuto, but they are able to get James McCann, who is a good fit, probably a little bit cheaper fit, which allowed them to make some of the other moves. And then you obviously, you end the offseason bringing in Francisco Lindor and Carlos Carrasco to add more depth to that starting rotation. I think the Mets, you know, aside from some of the things that went on off the field in terms of this organization, the personnel moves they made from a roster standpoint, I think we're spot on. I think we're spot on. Who'd you have at number three there?
Yeah, we agree. The Mets have improved. You know, I actually at number four, I had the Dodgers at number four.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I had four for the Dodgers. You know, obviously you had Trevor Bauer, who is by far and away the top pitcher on the market, won the Cy Young. You know, I got to think that they're going to be better. Obviously, he's a quirky personality. We've talked about this before, and they're adding him to a team that's already a World Series team with a great clubhouse. So they're taking a little bit of a chance. I mean, I don't think it's a huge chance. You know, I don't think he's a terrible guy or anything like that. He's just a different personality, different cat. But, you know, you had him, you get that rotation. It's absolutely fantastic. So to me, they're the World Series favorite, even though they were probably one-upped by a team close by them geographically. You know, they brought Turner back, which they had to do. And some might say they overpaid, but they had to do what they had to do. And Milwaukee obviously tried very hard for Turner, offering him a 3-year deal and also that 2 for $34, which the Dodgers ultimately paid. And I think they shored up the bullpen a little bit, brought Trinan back. They're adding Kainley. They're adding Knebel, who's coming off the Tommy John. I think the bullpen's still a little bit of a question, just based on some health there, but I think they're still the World Series favorite. So they're my number four team.
Yeah. So to recap, you had the Mets at five, yes. The Dodgers at four,
right?
And you have the White Sox at three?
Yes,
okay.
I do. And
okay.
I agree
with
you.
That makes sense.
I thought they made impact moves. You know, I like Lynn very much for the rotation. And Hendricks was the top reliever. I don't think there's any question about that. In fact, he's probably the best reliever in baseball over the last couple of years. And they brought Rodon back and Eden. You know, not a ton of moves, but the right moves.
Right.
I think they did a good job.
Right. No, I 100% agree. So to clarify, I had the White Sox at five, the Mets at four, and at three, I had the Dodgers.
Okay.
You mentioned Knebel being able to come back being able to sign with the Dodgers, kind of helping that bullpen bridge the gap. I don't know. They did bring back Trinan. He could be a closer. He has had issues there as the past. They still have the question mark at the back end a little bit with Kenley Jansen trying to figure out what happens to him. But I do think the Trevor Bauer signing pushed them to the third spot for me. When you couple that with the fact that they get back a David Price who opted out of the 2020 season, that makes that starting rotation really, really good. That they have just as much depth as anybody at that starting rotation, when you think of the fact that Trevor May and Gonsolin both are at least from the start of spring training look like they're going to be on the outside looking in terms of that rotation.
Yep.
So the Dodgers, and then of course you bring back Justin Turner at a pretty big price. I mean, 2 years, about what, $34 million, something along those lines.
Yep.
It's that is quite a bit of money. But again, if there's an organization that can afford to do it. It is a short-term deal. And listen, if Justin is productive as he's been over the past, you know, 5-6 years, he's been a Dodger, 7 years, he's been a Dodger, that deal is going to work out just fine for him. I had them at three.
Okay.
Moving forward. All right. Who'd you have at two, John?
I think we may have the top two teams identical. We think alike, Tony. I kind of feel that way. We really
do.
It's amazing. Maybe it's from doing this show. I've got the Jays at number two. I mean, you signed George Springer. I mean, that's the biggest deal going, and deservedly so. Fantastic player. Great for the clubhouse. Clutch. Exactly what they needed. They added Semien, so that Bichette, I'm not sure how they're going to work that out between short and third, but one's going to play short, one's going to play third. We'll see. I guess Bichette could move to third probably and Semien at short, I would guess. And they added a bunch of pitchers, a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Robbie Ray, Chatwood, Yates, Matz, Phelps. You know, Robbie Ray, very, very talented. He obviously didn't have a good year last year. Yates coming off an off year also, and so is Matz. But all of them have bounce back potential. All of them have talent. And I like what the Jays did. Obviously, their lineup was already very good, and you add Springer to it. It's one of the deeper lineups in baseball. And, you know, I would say they're a threat to the Yankees. They made a playoffs last year, and it's going to be interesting to watch them, though, to see where they start in Dunedin and then go to Buffalo or what they're going to where they're going to play exactly. But that seems to be the plan. Start in Dunedin and then potentially go to Buffalo for the summer.
Yeah, I mean, no argument here. I also had the Blue Jays at two. You look at the bounce back ability has to be in play here for the Blue Jays, because they did take a flyer on some guys. Kirby Yates was hurt all last year, so it wasn't necessarily that he struggled, but he just wasn't healthy. So you're taking a flyer there. You mentioned Robbie Ray. He had a rough year of it last year. You know the talent he has on the mound. So they're hoping they can get a bounce back year. And then you mentioned Steven Matz. He's kind of in the same boat as Robbie Ray, but you got depth there. You mentioned Tyler Chatwood. I think that's a depth move. Obviously the big move was George Springer and what he brings to that clubhouse. I think this team might have a little bit of leg up on the Yankees. I think they could win that
really?
National League East. It's going to be interesting to see these, because I really believe that the young guys, you know, on that squad, they get a year or more season and they're going to be even more confident than they were going into last year. This could be a dangerous bunch. It's a dark horse for me, but I like this Blue Jays team.
I like it. Yeah. They've certainly had a great winter.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely are amongst the winners. Obviously we both have them at number two. Number one, I don't think this one was even close. I think it's the San Diego Padres. Watching the way, and it's, you know, going through this list, John, it was interesting to see the many different ways the teams went about their offseason. You know, the Blue Jays pretty much were all mostly free agent signings that they brought in. Whereas the Padres are the exact opposite. They did most of their deal making via trade. They bring in Snell from the Rays. They bring in Yu Darvish from the Rangers. From the Cubs, and Caratini from the Cubs. You sign Haesung Kim. You acquire Joe Musgrove. I mean, they attacked the things that I think were spots they felt like, you know, they needed to improve at. That was the starting rotation, and they needed another bat that could add depth to not just their lineup, but to their offensive side of the ball. I think AJ Preller did it. And not only did he do it, he kept the top five prospects in tow despite all the trades.
Yeah. I mean, Preller and company have done just a great job building up that prospect system. I mean, they had so many good prospects, and they kept Gore and Abrams and so many of the really top guys. Obviously, Patino went to the Rays in the Snell deal, but you're right. They kept the top five guys, I would say. You know, they did a great job with that, and that's what enabled them to make all these great trades. And obviously, the Clevinger injury was a big setback, and they needed to do something in terms of the rotation, and boy, did they do something. To add Yu Darvish, who finished second in Cy Young, to add Snell, one of the top left-handers in the game, Musgrove, a highly coveted pitcher in trade that the Pirates was their best trade chip. Kim, very versatile guy. He can hit. Profar, similar. Had a good year last year. Some might say that might be an overpay. That was quite expensive. I don't know where San Diego gets all this money. Good for the Padres. They're willing to spend to win. I like Caratini, too, as a backup catcher or part halftime catcher, perhaps. Melanson, who isn't official yet, but that will help the bullpen. Keela, very talented. He's a bit of a quirky personality. We'll see how he fits in. Obviously, Preller knew him from Texas, so he has faith that he'll be okay there. But it's clearly in that rotation where they improved to get Darvish, Snell and Musgrove to add to a rotation that really was not terrible. I mean, obviously the loss of Clevinger hurts, but you've still got Lamet in there. You've still got Paddock. I think Gore will see him this year. You know, they have some pretty good starters, and now they have a great rotation. I'd still give the Dodgers a bit of an edge maybe in the rotation, but, you know, I mean, that's not really a fault of the Padres. What a winter. It's one of the best ones I think we've seen, not only this year, but in the last couple of decades. Fantastic job by A.J. Preller and company.
Yeah, a couple of things. You know, it's funny. A lot of people are asking, where the Padres getting this money from? I think out here we've decided we're not going to ask that question anymore. We're just going to enjoy the fact that it has come from someplace and is working for us out here. And the other thing is, in terms of who's going to have the better rotation, I think you're right. Right now, you have to say the Dodgers have the edge, but it could totally hinge on what type of Chris Paddock the Padres get that could possibly round out the back end of that rotation. It's a possibility that we will see Gore at some point this year, but we'll have to see how that rolls. Now, you know, as I went through this, John, it was apparent that although these were the five that you and I both agree on, there were actually a lot of teams that, in terms of getting better from last year going into this 2021 season, there were a lot of teams that fit that mold. You could come up anywhere between 10 and 15 of those teams.
Absolutely.
I guess outside that five, we'll call it the honorable mention. Who was one of the teams that you had that you thought had a good offseason but finished outside the top five?
Yeah, I mean, you got to say the Cardinals. They came close to my top five to get Arenado, one of the top five players in the game. You know, I gave the Mets the edge with Lindor, but Arenado's a very comparable player. They brought back Yachty, which they had to do, future Hall of Famer. They brought back Wainwright for their rotation. But, I mean, to pull together that Arenado trade and to make that commitment and to get Colorado to pay a good portion of that, I got to say the Cardinals, they're probably sixth for me. But I'm with you. I've got about 10 others that I think did a pretty good job. But Cardinals get a gold star in my number 16.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you there. Anytime you bring in the type of caliber player that Arenado is, it's tough to even really argue that there's something out there that could change that in terms of them not being right there at number six. Especially when you consider the division that they're in, it seems like the National League Central really didn't get stronger; it got weaker as a whole. And the Brewers made some nice moves here as of late to kind of maybe close the gap a little bit, but I don't think there's any question that the Cardinals are that next team in terms of being an honorable mention. It was a fight between really the Cardinals and the Twins for me. They're another one of those teams that didn't make huge moves, but they made moves that I thought could be impactful on that team. You bring in an Andrelton Simmons, he immediately makes the middle of your defense that much better. And for a team last year that we thought was going to be all offense, it turned out that their pitching was really good. And if they can somehow make it better by getting better defensively, I like the moves. Although there were a few, I like the moves the Twins made as well.
Yep, I'm with you 100%. We've done the show a while now, and I guess we agree on everything. Nelson Cruz, one of the best hitters in the game.
Right,
and Andrelton
right.
Simmons, one of the best fielders in the game. So you bring those two guys in, that's going to help. They added Shoemaker for the back end of that rotation. You're right, the rotation surprised last year. I don't think anybody expected it to be as good as it is. It doesn't look like it's a star pack, but, I mean, Maeda was an ace last year, a deserving ace and all-star. He was very good, and it's solid considering that the hitting is very good for the Twins. And yeah, I'd say they're the co-favorite with the White Sox right now in that Central.
Who else were some of your honorable mentions?
Yeah, I got a whole list of them here, Tony. You know, I think the Royals, they certainly improved. I like the fact they're a small market team and they're trying hard. Carlos Santana gives them some offense. You got Benintendi, gives them that left-handed bat that they've been looking for. Michael Taylor, a little defense in that big outfield. Mike Minor, very talented guy, brought back Greg Holland. You know, I just feel like they did a lot of things, and they're trying to contend, you know. They don't tank, you know, small market. They don't look like they're going to win that division, but I like their effort. I give them credit. I think John Sherman is a very good owner. And, you know, he kept all the scouts. He did all the right things. And, you know, I kind of like what Kansas City did.
Yeah, Kansas City is certainly one of those teams that I don't think people expect to hear their name often, but they did do a fantastic job of getting better. And when you're building up from scratch like they are, you really, those are the type of offseason that can become very impactful in your stride to be a team that's contending for at least a playoff spot. All right, now I think none of us really like to do this, but there's usually, when there's winners, there's usually our losers. And these ones are apparent. And the tough part for me, John, is when I look at Major League Baseball as a whole, there were a lot of teams that got better, as mentioned through our list. But that doesn't mean every team is trying to win. And it just seems like Major League Baseball as a whole is top heavy in terms of the talent pool. Now, with that being said, there are some teams that are blatantly, let's say, rebuilding. It's a very nice way
Some of them are rebuilding. Yeah. It's fair. Some of them are. Others are more than rebuilding, but yes.
Right. Right. More than rebuilding. I guess we have to start with a team that, you know, a lot of people feel like should never be on this list, but the Red Sox. They have continue to gut themselves. They've made a couple moves as of late that are kind of confusing for a team that seemingly is stripping everything down, but it's almost moves to save face. This team is completely a shell of itself, maybe from two, three years ago, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And that great outfield, that great young outfield they had, they're almost all gone. Now we'll see if Jackie Bradley Jr. goes back to the Red Sox. We don't know at this point. He's the top unsigned free agent. But Benintendi has been traded. Obviously, last year the big move was trading Betts to the Dodgers, and that did great things for the Dodgers, not for the Red Sox. And they're going to take hits on that one for years to come. And at the time, I didn't kill them as others did, but it does not look good when the other team wins the World Series and the Red Sox take a step back. And they're not taking a quick step forward either. You know, they did try to do a couple things. Garrett Richards for $10 million, that seems like a lot of money for – I mean, Garrett Richards, talented guy, but he certainly had injury questions. We'll see. That seems like a flyer to me. Renfro, solid player, but, again, not a star. He's not replacing Mookie Betts, certainly. And you've got – they got versatile guys. They love the versatility. Chaim Bloom is in there, and maybe that will help them. Nike Hernandez and Marwin Gonzalez, two very versatile guys. Play all over the field, but looks like they have holes all over the field. So it's good they got versatile guys because they got those holes to fill. You know, this is another year. They're just not going to contend, and it's hard to see them contending a year from now either. But we'll see. We'll see what they can do. Obviously, if you get Sale back here at some point, that will help. You know, their pitching should be better with some injury guys coming back, but. It looks like a long year for the Red Sox. So I'm with you. I had them as my number three loser. Not they're not one or two, but they're not at the bottom of this loser list either.
Give me another one off your list.
Yeah, I put the Cubs on here at number five. Now they're hustling a bit here at the end. They seem to have come up with some money late and signed to Jock Peterson and Arrieta, who's a big hero for them in 2016 and 15. So, I mean, they've done some nice things lately, but that Yu Darvish trade, I mean, you know, they can say all they want about how they weren't trying to save money, but you trade the guy who finished second in the Cy Young Award, you're going to take a big step back. Now, I like Zach Davies. I think he's a solid pitcher, but Darvish is one of the best pitchers in the game. You know, you're the Cubs. You've remade the place. The money potential is there. And, you know, I feel like I had to put him on the list for that reason. I think they're a smart group. I think they'll do some good stuff. We may see them contend sooner than we thought, but you know, they traded Yu Darvish for some guys who are really future guys with San Diego. I mean, they're talented, sure, but are they going to make it? We have no idea at this point.
No clue at all, and that's I think that's why Resoundingly, everybody thought that the Padres got the better end of that deal. Is just because there is so many unknowns with the young prospects that they did have. I do find it funny, John.
Prospects that we know, and we never heard of them. Does that mean they're not going to be good? No, they may be good, but it's hard to judge that now, I would say.
I find it funny when you mentioned the Cubs hustling as of late. Red Sox have kind of done the same thing. And the markets in which it may be, it may not be as well taken in a rebuild, you see those type of moves. And the markets where I think it's almost expected that it's going to be a rebuild, they have no shame in throwing out whatever roster it is that helps teams save a little bit money. But in places like a Boston, where you know the fanfare is heavy, a place like Chicago, it's almost like a saving face move sometimes for those organizations, because they know the fan base is not happy at all. I'll give you one off of my list that they tend to come and go on this list, and that's the Oakland A's. They are in one of their kind of downturns right now in terms of every 3 years they pop up, they're on the scene for three, and then they disappear for a little bit. And they seem to be on the side of being towards the bottom here again lately. You know, you lose Semien, you lose Hendricks. You make a trade that brings in Elvis Andrews. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but this is kind of what we've come to expect from Oakland.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've done a great job there overall, Billy Beane and company. They won 90-plus games, I would say, in a majority of years. So you got to give them credit overall. But this winter, and we knew this going in, I got the hint early on, they were not going to keep Semien. He was going to be too pricey. He got $18 million. Hendricks, he got $18 million a year, too, on a three-year deal. He really had great timing for free agency. This is a player who had been released at one point. But I mean, he was a fantastic reliever for them. But to lose a star shortstop and to lose a reliever like that, you know, they're going to be hard pressed to come up with one of those 90 win seasons this year. We shall see. They've pulled some rabbits out of some hats before. They've really surprised us. It's a little bit like Tampa on the West Coast. They've done a fantastic job overall. But I mean, you look at this winter and you look what they've done. You know, they got to be on your list of the bottom five, and they are on my list.
So it seems that three of our five are the same in the Red Sox, Oakland, and Cubs. Give me one that might be a little different on your list.
Yes, I got the Mariners. Now, I'm known as a Mariners detractor, so I don't want to disappoint anybody. I got to put them on the list. You know, I mean, they did some stuff. I mean, they brought James Paxton back. They like to bring their old guys back. You know, he's a talented guy. Obviously, he was hurt last year, basically didn't pitch. You know, you never know. They've got some prospects. But, you know, we say that every year about the Mariners. You know, we hear about the three-year plan, right. The five-year. They're in a 23-year plan at this point. You know, they haven't been to playoffs for more than two decades. And, you know, everybody seems to go along with it. I think Seattle, everybody's very happy there. They're drinking coffee. They're doing whatever
else
they're doing.
Exactly, yeah.
And there's no complaints. I'm looking on the Twitter, and everybody's happy with their prospects. They got a great outfield of the future. But what about the present? The present is never good for Seattle. I'm sorry. I know their fans are already on me, and I actually criticized their signing of Evan White when they signed him, because he signed at a double A, and they gave him $24 million. And it's funny, his agent got to me this in the recent weeks and sent me a T-shirt. And Evan White is a very nice young man. I got to meet him, and I'm supporting his charity, which is fantastic. So, I mean, that's a great thing. And I'm glad that I made friends through my criticism of the Mariners. It was nothing personal on Evan White. I just didn't see why you'd give $24 million to a double-A player. He certainly was coming up to the majors, and he's their starting first baseman, and he's a terrific defender. And he probably will be a pretty good major leaguer at some point, but I didn't get it. I just don't get what they do, frankly. I don't get any of it, basically. I don't understand the strategy. And, you know, maybe in another 23 years, they'll make the playoffs. I don't know.
Yeah, kudos to Evan White for being able to take advantage of whatever's going on there in Seattle. And he's going to get an opportunity to play, and he have a chance to make a whole lot more money should he play well. The way I looked at the Mariners and really Baltimore is I think everybody expects that they are at the bottom just based on what they've shown us over the last few years. So I kept them off of my list for that reason.
Baltimore is they're a low revenue team. Baltimore, they have tradition, obviously, but Seattle is a top 10 revenue team, or has been in the past. It's a little much to be going on, in your third decade of not making the playoffs. Anyway, I think I bashed them enough. Go ahead, Tony. Give me your picks.
You're right. I won't put the Orioles in that category, but I think going into this list, I was thinking, people are expecting that at least the Orioles and Mariners would be on this list. So I kept them off for that reason. And I put the Rockies. They seem to be stuck in this weird place where the guys that they had coming, the young guys that they have coming, haven't got to the potential that they thought they would have. Other than Trevor Story, who knows what's going to happen with his career in terms of being a Rocky long term, they have really, I don't want to say missed the mark, just haven't got what they thought they were going to get from some of the guys. And then you couple that with losing Arenado over the offseason. This team is 2 years ago was a wild card team, back to back seasons, and to see how far they've fallen just is kind of mind blowing to me. This team is I think going to be at the bottom, we'll be at the bottom of the National League West, and possibly of the bottom of the entire Major League Baseball. So I had them on my list as well. I don't see the direction this organization is going. And then on top of that, you get an owner that comes out and basically crushes any likelihood of the roster getting better, basically saying we're a mid-market team. This is what you can expect. And although that may be true, don't know that it's the best thing to go out and say that publicly to your fan base.
Yeah, I mean, San Diego's a mid-market team. I mean, look what they did. I mean, I guess it's unfair to compare to the Padres, which is number one on both our lists, but it's an oversight on my part. Yeah, I should have included the Rockies this year. To trade Arenado, who's one of the best players in the game, and to foot the bill. I mean, they contributed up to $50 million of that contract, just a couple of years after signing him to this long deal. And, obviously they got to think about how do we get along better with our great players. They had an issue with Tulowitzki and had to deal him.
Tulowitzki,
Now they have the issue with Arenado, and they've had to trade him. We don't know that they got any blue chippers back. They certainly got several guys back. Maybe some of them will turn out. Arenado did have an out after this year, so I get it. I understand why they traded him, but it just doesn't look good when the guy has an out. In 1 year, he might if they kept him, he might play for a year and he doesn't like it, right? He might opt out. That would only be $30 million. Instead, they paid $50 million to trade him away. I guess they figured that the contract was so much money that he wouldn't opt out any. I don't know, but it just didn't look good. It's an unfortunate episode, and hopefully they'll learn from it and try to get along with their superstars better. And that's obviously the guy that you mentioned, Trevor Story, who is a superstar, and he's got a year to go, and there's a lot of pressure to lock him up. He's in a pretty good bargaining position right now. If he wants to stay, and I haven't heard that he has any issue with the front office. I don't know. He may, but I haven't heard that. And hopefully they'll make nice with him, because we wouldn't want this to happen for a third time.
It's kind of a two-way street, right? When a franchise commits to you, you're committing to the franchise, but there has to be honesty up front. We don't know what was said to Nolan Arenado in terms of what they could do after the contract or not. It sounds like he thought that they could still make some moves to get better. And maybe it didn't happen to his liking, but there is a commitment there. And on the flip side, that you're absolutely right. This is now the second star they've had that eventually the relationship was frayed to the point where they had to move. But if you're the Rockies, and you brought up a terrific point, why not wait to see if he opts out? Because you could still trade him even after he decides to opt in. And if you were going to pay as much money as they end up paying, you always have the opportunity to do that down the line. at least you give yourself and put the onus on the player at that point to make a decision that if he really wants to contend and it doesn't look like it's happening there, he may have to leave that money on the table. If he doesn't, that's the decision he made. And if you still want to trade him, you can. I just thought moving him this early didn't make a whole lot of sense. But we'll see how things shape up for the Rockies moving forward. All right, John, we've gone over our winners, our honorable mentions, and our losers. I got to tell you, I'm quite surprised that the free agent list has pared down to where it is. There's only really maybe four or five big ones. We're going to go over four of the remaining free agents that are out there.
Yeah, I mean, they're really exactly right. There's only, I mean, we're being kind to say there are four. There's really only two or three that are left that are really in the prime of their career. And it's an amazing thing to have seen. It was 80% of the guys were still free agents as of 3 weeks ago. And now we're down to two or three. I mean, there are probably 50 free agents left, and some of them are pretty good players, but they're not the marquee names. And they all signed quickly. Ozuna and Realmuto, we all got signed. They all came into this year. Nobody really signed in the November period or December, but they all got, almost all of them got done in a hurry. So let's go over them one by one. The guys that remain, though, go ahead.
Okay, let's start with Jackie Bradley. What's the take on him?
Yeah, top guy left, I would say, at this point, 30-year-old center fielder who, by some standards, was the top outmaker in terms of defense in center field last year. And, at this point, with the Mets signing Pilar on top of Almora, we got to think that the Mets are not too likely to sign Jackie Bradley Jr. They had been seen as the more likely team, probably, to sign him if he was going to leave. But at this point, you've got to think that the Red Sox need outfielders. They like Jackie Bradley Jr. Obviously, they haven't come together on a price as of right now, but you got to think that the Red Sox are a contender for Jackie Bradley Jr. to return. And, I think the Astros are a team. Right now you have Miles Straw, who's a speedy guy, potential. But, obviously they lost Springer. Jackie Bradley Jr. has been linked to the Astros. It would certainly make sense for him to go to Houston. That's another possibility. Two other teams I'll throw out there. Now, the Giants have said that they think they're basically done. They've looked around. They've sniffed around a bit on Jackie Bradley. So we'll see if that's possible. And I'm going to say the Brewers. I mean, this is speculation on my part. They tried for Turner, but, they could move Kane to a corner outfield. Jackie Bradley would be somebody who would help the Brewers out. They did some nice things here toward the end, and they've still got a solid team. Obviously, you've got Woodruff and Burns at the top of their rotation. You got Hader. You got Yelich. They're not one of our winners. We can put them on the winner category, but they're still a solid team, and they still have room for improvement, too. So I would note those four teams. If he goes anywhere else, I'll be surprised.
How about reliever Trevor Rosenthal? I know a lot of Padre fans were hoping he returned, but looks like that's not in the cards with Melanson signing on for the Padres. What are you hearing with Rosenthal?
Well, we know he's been talking to the Mets, but it's harder to predict with the relievers. We'll see. The Braves pull out some surprises, and it looks like they do need a righty reliever. And I know they've looked around. They looked at Hendricks. They looked at Yates. They looked at some of these guys. And, I haven't heard him necessarily connected to Rosenthal, but I could see Atlanta as a possibility for Rosenthal. We'll see. The Cubs are doing some interesting things now late. We'll see what they end up doing. But those are the two teams that stand out for me right now for Rosenthal. But anybody, he can help anybody, a really good reliever who had a really nice year last year. But I'm going to say the Mets or the Braves would be the most likely right now.
Now, John, outfielder Ryan Braun seems to be kind of getting some interest. Question is whether he wants to actually continue to play or not.
Yeah, I think he's not going to play at the beginning of the year, but he's working out from what I understand. And, he may join a team later. It could be the Brewers. He's obviously close with the owner, Mark Adnazio, there. We'll see. The DH thing's still unsettled. They're saying there will not be a universal DH. We will not have a DH in the National League. But a lot of people still are wondering if they might just put it in late. Obviously, it would be too late to help Cruz and Ozuna, who's already signed their deals, but you still got guys out there who would help. Right. Certainly, Moreland, Chu, Encarnacion, and Braun all would be helped by a universal DH. But, you know, I don't think he's in a hurry to play at the beginning of the year, but I wouldn't be surprised if he joined a team. And if he joined a team, it probably would be the Brewers, but we'll see kind of midway through the season.
The last free agent we're going to cover, John, is Yasiel Puig. What is the status with him?
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble with his agent, Rachel Luba, here, but, you know, it was reported.
Careful.
I know. I got to be careful with this. She might tweet at me again. But it was reported that the Yankees, the Royals, and the Marlins were interested. One by one, I eliminated those teams, certainly at that time. I have not found any interest on those part of those three teams. The Yankees never made sense. They don't need a right-handed bat. The Marlins aren't going to do it. They tried last year. They made him an offer last winter. I heard it was incentive-laden. She disputes that. Of course, she was not the agent at that time, so she may not know. I may know more than her about that. I don't know. Yasiel Puig is still, if you look at his productivity, it's not what it was at the start, but he looks like an average starting major league player, but his, shall we say, quirky personality has hurt him. You can be quirky if you're a superstar or even a star. At this point, you're an average player and you're looked at as a potential distraction. You're going to have to probably make good somehow, prove yourself. He did have that deal with the Braves last year, and then unfortunately, just bad luck, failed the COVID test and had a chance to go with the Orioles, didn't do it. Again, we knew he had a chance with the Marlins a year ago, didn't do it. You know, I don't think he quite grasped the idea that he has kind of made good and just signed a deal that maybe he's not thrilled with and go in and play and just get along with everybody and not be a distraction and prove that you can be a productive major leaguer without annoying anybody. So it's going to be, it's a difficult thing. I sympathize to a degree with their agents, but, you know, and they're not the ones who said those teams were interested in the first place, but they seem not to like my shooting them down, or at least Rachel Luba didn't. We will see. At this point, we have not heard of a team connected to Puig. I wouldn't be shocked if he does get a team. He does have talent. It is possible, but, you know, he's got to take whatever deal they give him. He's not in a negotiating position at this point.
Yeah. Well, here's to the remaining free agents on the board that they hopefully find a home here soon before we get rolling. Pitchers and catchers start reporting soon. You'll probably be hearing more often from myself and John. That, however, is going to do it for this episode of Big Time Baseball. Hopefully, again, we'll be able to join you next week. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Tony Gwynn Jr. He's at John Heyman. And now this show is on Twitter as well. Follow us at RDC_BTB. That's Big Time Baseball. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review Big Time Baseball on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Until next week, that'll do it.